Welcome to the Aquarimax Audio Show with Russ and Kim. We provide information on all kinds of aquarium-related topics.
This is episode 298, recorded June 27th, 2016.
Greetings, Aquarimaxers.
Hello.
So
hello out there.
We have the show's from...
I'm almost quoting Miracle Max.
Almost. So the podcast today, our contributor is...
Mick.
In the one and only Carnforth, UK.
Yes. So, Mick had been talking about his angelfish, I believe. And he said, I managed to find a slightly blurred photo of a female at the point of hatching young. It's on the computer home, so I'll send it on from there later. So we'll put that up for you guys when he gets it to us. And he says, in other news, I made mention of pH news in the email below. After having a few losses in various tanks, I decided to do some tests. Like you mentioned in the last podcast, if things are generally looking well in established tanks, I don't do any routine testing. After all but one of my baby goldfish died off and finding no ammonia or nitrites, I checked the pH to find it registering at 3.4 in that tank. The angel babies had also failed to get going, and I put it down to being an early spawning from a new pair, but having checked all my tanks and finding pH from 5 down to 3.5 in all tanks, it is clear what the trouble has been. I have a header tank which is topped up from the mains and come out of the tap at pH 7 and holds it even after a week, so I just expected a pH of around 6.5 to 7, allowing for a slight drop in the tanks. When I tested the TDS of the top up water, it was coming out at 35 parts per million. Okay, tell me what TDS is again.
Total dissolved solids.
Oh, see, I never remember that one. That's okay. You remember it.
I do.
And you can just tell me again. So next time you can tell me again. Okay. So I think that the low concentration of minerals in the top-up water once in the tanks was just being used up, and over the last few weeks this has had no long-term buffering capacity, leading to the pH crash. So now I am doing daily testing on all the tanks and using a Malawi mix to buffer the water and bring the pH back up. We had a similar issue in the shop about 6 weeks ago, but I never thought to check at home. We are doing twice weekly checks for pH in the shop, and I will have to consider a similar routine at home. In more positive news, I have made a small Cuban puddle biotope tank at home for some black chin live bearers, Jardinus metallicus. I have quite a few fry already, and I will see if I can send in a picture or a short video. Best fishes, Mick.
All right, and I'm trying to see. He did send the video in.
All right, so we can, we can put that up for people to peruse.
Yeah.
And then he emailed us again, yes?
Okay, well, we want to talk a little bit about
the other stuff.
Things he said.
Yes.
Because I think, although it's very sad that such a tragedy occurred with pH, I am glad that Mick's sharing it with us because pH crash is something that many people have to deal with when they don't have as much buffering capacity in the water as some others. Like, we have a lot of buffering capacity in our water.
So it's less likely to happen. Capacity.
Well, basically, we've got carbonates in our water, you know, like calcium carbonate in the water, a lot of it. And so when you add acid to the water, it reacts with the carbonate and the total pH of the water is unaffected while that there are those carbonates that can react with the acids.
Are they kind of canceling each other out?
Basically, yeah, canceling each other out.
Okay.
And so... once the buffering capacity is exhausted, then you can have a sudden change in pH, which is very bad. And that's what happened with these tanks with Mick, because his water has less buffering capacity than ours does.
Because it doesn't have as many total dissolved solids.
Including the calcium carbonate, yes.
I'm almost going to have to make a song about that one, like surface area.
Yeah, because it's equally important, really. And so I think that it's important that he mentions it because it can be a big problem like that. It can kind of creep up on you when suddenly the buffering capacity exhausted and you get a pH crash. Not that that can't happen with water like ours. It's just more difficult
because our water's so hard.
Yeah, there's more buffering capacity. So it's not impossible. Can happen, but it's just a little bit more difficult. So I haven't encountered it particularly. So it's good that he mentions it because it may help others diagnose problems or prevent them.
That's and when good.
He's adding the Malawi mix.
Does that just, it's a bunch of minerals, I guess?
Cause well, Malawi based on water. Lake Malawi, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And use that to make water that is similar to the lake water they come from, because the Lake Malawi is very hard water. And so by adding it, you're adding carbonates and buffering, you know, the water in a way with the minerals that are beneficial to the fish in the appropriate quantities. You wouldn't put as much as you would for a Malawi tank as you would for, you know, a tank where you want the water to be softer and less alkaline, but you put a little in there and it adds that buffering capacity you need.
Okay.
So, good way to deal with it. Okay. Now, we had some problems communicating by email.
With Mick?
With Mick. But he tried to send some pictures and they didn't come through initially, but they eventually did. But he's got this other email first, so we can go ahead to that one.
He says, my Cuban puddle tank is well populated by black chin fry. I managed to get the adults out and into another tank, which I have named the psychedelic tank, on account of having nothing else to hand but extremely bright plastic plants, which I generally find very embarrassing. At least my secret is safe with you and the whole Aquarimax community. Yes, we won't tell. I have also just moved a group of sailfin tetras into a long tank. Despite their being very shy, I have managed to get a couple of shots of them. They seem to take a week or two to settle in, but once the males start displaying, they look amazing. I think I will add a few cardinals just for color and to act as ditherfish for the sailfins.
They're really cool. I should show you the pictures. Let's see, is this it? Yeah, this is the sailfin.
Oh, okay.
Isn't that cool? Yeah. I like that dorsal fin on there.
So those will go up for people, so they have a very triangular, more so the normal looking dorsal fin, I think.
Yeah, it's a bigger dorsal fin. No, that's what their dorsal fin looks like. They have a kind of a long anal fin and a long dorsal fin. Almost reminds me of a betta a little bit with that, the way that works.
I could see that. Okay. I also managed to get a picture of one of my male teleocicla.
Mm-hmm.
Cicla?
Let's say cicla because it comes from cichlid.
Okay. Teleocicla perching on a pot and a shot of the tank overall, which I have tried to make a shallow river-style setup. The two long tanks I have are 24 inches long, 8 inches wide, and 8 inches tall, all working with the mat filters.
And here's a picture of that teleocicla, the long, skinny cichlids.
It's perching. It's funny when fish can perch.
Yeah.
Can I interject something not fish-related, but critter-related?
Okay.
Because sometimes we talk about other critters, but just reminded me because we said perching.
Okay.
Okay. So, I don't remember if we talked about it, but we got baby chickens.
We've talked about it.
Okay, a couple of months ago. And now they're bigger and they're living outside now. And we have a couple of buff Orpingtons and they're just really friendly and affectionate and chill and they'll let you pick them up and pet them. And if I haven't petted them yet and I'm about to leave the enclosure, they'll run in front of my feet saying, wait, you forgot to pet me. And so Isaac was out there today and he was sitting in a chair in their little yard. And one of the buff Orpingtons jumped up and just perched on his arm, like just roosting on his arm for, I don't know, like 5 or 10 minutes. Just, oh, this is a comfortable spot. I will stay here and so will you. Anyways, that was my random not fish related tangent because it was cute. Okay, back to perching fish. So in the picture it's perching. Oh, look, there's your psychedelic tank. I just saw the picture.
Yeah, I just pulled it up.
It's okay, you don't have to be embarrassed, Mick. It's bright and cheerful.
And I feel the same way that you do, Mick. But
we'll just go with the colors for now. It's just, you know, for fun.
You're demonstrating your bravery by putting this up here, so I commend your bravery for putting this tank up here.
We could put some sparkles in it.
And he has a comment or two for some of these. Like, I love his comment that he has on this tank. This is what he says.
A 40-year-old man who works as a professional aquarist should not have a tank like this. It's okay. You can say it's your daughter's tank. Just like, I don't know, we'll put a picture, like one of a tank decoration of Elsa or something in there.
There you go.
From Frozen. Okay. So we'll put all the videos and the pictures up for you.
Mm-hmm.
And
I was going to show you the pictures of the black chins.
Okay.
You'll see why they're really called black chins.
Well, I figured it was, you know.
Look at that. Look how black that chin is on that fish.
Oh, wow.
It's cool, huh? So everybody should go to his page and check. I would go to our page where we will have Mick's videos embedded, and you can check them out. Or you can just go straight to Mick's page, too, which is also possible. His YouTube channel is Fangs and Fins.
Just like your shop.
Yeah.
Do we have anything else today? Did you have?
Yes, we do, actually. So thank you, Mick, and I hope everything goes well with the new buffering regimen and with all your new fry and so on. And I would like to point out, everyone, that we are very nearly to the 300th episode, as you see, this being 298. So about 2 weeks from the time you listen to this, the 300th episode should be coming out. And as is tradition with the Quaramax, I would really like it if we could have some sound bites from those of you who would like to participate and just commemorate the 300th episode by sending in a comment, or it doesn't have to be a comment, it can be anything you want to say in just a short time, a few seconds, but an audio message. So a couple ways you can send that in. You can call 801-477-0629.
I didn't know we still had that number.
We do.
Oh, how about that?
People don't use it very often, but we have it.
Okay.
801-477-0629. You can call that and leave a message, and we will record it that way. I mean, we can download that as an MP3 and then put it into the podcast. You could also just record on your phone or whatever. You have an app. Most phones have a free native app included these days that will record a short audio file, like voice memo. If it's an, you know, an iPhone, it'll send it's voice memo. I'm not sure what it's called on other phones, but you can just email it to us after you record it. Email 20 seconds or something, and if you want to say congratulations on 300th episode or whatever you want to say.
If you want to say, I have 300 of this kind of fish.
Yeah.
Or I had 300 Cheerios in my bowl for breakfast this morning.
Or I spent 300 cents on live food for my fish today. I don't know. Whatever you want to say to commemorate 300
episodes. I have 300 eyebrow hairs.
That's not very fish-related.
That's okay. Neither are Cheerios.
But anyway, if you want to send it that way, or you can just, if you have a different way to record an MP3 or a WAV file, whatever, then you can do that and send it to us. And I would love to compile them all at the beginning of the episode in commemoration of episode 300.
I know what they could do. They could say surface area in a sing-song voice 300 times.
Yeah. We might not put the entire thing on the podcast, but we could put a sample of it.
But you would get huge points.
Yes, you would. So, anyway, that's what we would like to ask you to do. Not everybody has to do it. If everybody did it, it would take us all year. But some people would do it. Like last time when we did 200 episodes, how many people did it? I don't know,
Eight or
ten people?
That was a long time ago.
We could look up episode 200 and find out. But a number of people did it, and it was really cool. And they said, I'm... you know, my name from wherever, and I'd like to say, you know, I've enjoyed the first 200 episodes and I'm looking forward to 200 more, or different things like that. So please, if you feel the need to do so, or wow, I have to apologize for the loud noises tonight. It's been like 100 degrees Fahrenheit, 102 degrees Fahrenheit, actually, I think. And so the house is pretty warm. We had to turn off the cooler to do the podcast, so we had to leave the windows open. So it's loud.
So there's lots of loud trucks
for that. There's not much we can do about that if we don't want to all roast and be dead and be found here in the morning as cooked podcasters.
I bet we'd taste good.
I shall.
Just, you know, some garlic.
Commenting.
Some rosemary. Some potatoes.
Wow. Okay. I think you must be tired.
I'm really tired.
Okay. Well, ladies and gentlemen, that is all for this week. So. May the fish
be with you.
Thank you for listening to this edition of the Aquaramax Audio Show. For additional episodes, please visit aquaramax.com. to leave comments or questions that can be featured on an upcoming podcast, leave a message at 801-477-0629 or email us at info@aquaremax.com.